So, from verse number 4, 5th chapter, Vidura is actually putting forward his questions. So, verse 5 onwards. Yesterday we discussed the first verse, description of Vidura's qualities. Second, third and fourth verse, Vidura is expressing to Maitreya how Maitreya Rishi is a great devotee, and Vidura puts himself as a humble student, a disciple, and then begs that may the instructions now be given to me. So now, from text number 5 and 5, 6, 7, 8 and 9, they discuss about the creator of this material universe. So text 5 is who creates, text 6 is how does he create, text 7 is why does he create, and text 8 and 9 is what does he create. Who, how, why and what, these will be the four things we'll discuss today.
Karoti karmani kritavataro yanyatmatantra bhagavan tri advisha yathasasarjam gramidam niriha samasthapya vrityam jagato vivarte.
So in this verse he is describing about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Creator. Who is the Creator? What are His qualities? He is describing. So first of all, he is mentioning Karoti Karmani Kritavataro. Transcendental activities of the Lord by accepting incarnations. And specifically, the incarnations he is discussing here are the incarnations of Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, the Purushavatars, of how they create this material cosmos. So he is saying in this verse, three words to describe the Supreme Lord. Yani Atma Tantra Bhagavan Triadvisha. So Bhagavan is a supreme, all-opulent personality of Godhead. He is being referred to as, number one, Atma Tantra. Atma Tantra means self-independent. And Tri Adhisha means Lord of the Three Worlds. And Niriha is desireless. Independent, Lord of the Three Worlds, and he is desireless. So actually, if someone creates something, suppose I create chapati, then because I have a desire to eat chapati, I lack something and I have a desire to enjoy that chapati, so I create. Number two, I am employed as a cook because I am poverty stricken or I am working in some place and I am ordered to cook chapati, so I cook. That means I am dependent, right? And I am not the Lord and Master, I am subordinate to someone's instructions and desires. So then I do that activity. So generally a person performs an activity when he has a need for himself, a need to fulfill, or number two, he may perform an activity when he is subordinate and under the control of someone. Now Krishna is Bhagavan, he is the sum total of all opulences, Shat Aishwarya Purna. So he is all opulent, and number two, he is completely independent. and he is the Lord and Master of all. And then he is also desireless. He has no desire to fulfill on his own. So yatha sasarja agre idam griha sansthapya vrittim jagata vidhate. He accepts incarnations and creates the cosmic manifestation with perfectly arranged regulative principles for its maintenance. That means the Supreme Lord is arranging all these facilities not for himself, but he is so merciful that he is arranging all the facilities within the material cosmos for the sake of the conditioned souls who have desires to fulfill and who want to be the Lord and Master. And therefore, in order to facilitate that desire of the souls, this entire material cosmic manifestation is being created by the Lord. So we should know that although this material world has all the conditioned souls trying to fulfill their desires, nobody should be under the illusion that this manifestation has come out of its own. All the facilities are provided, but they are provided by whom? It is provided by that Bhagavan. It is provided by that Niriha, the desireless, all-independent, Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Tri-Adhiksha, the Lord of the Three Worlds. That means people become very much affected by seeing the energies. But we should know, behind the energies is the energetic, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So who is that creator? It is that Supreme Lord Krishna who is creating this material world for the sake of the conditioned souls. So now we have a very interesting principle. In the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10 topics have been described. Atra, sarga, visargascha, sthanam, poshanam, utaya, manvantara, ishanukatha, nirodha, muktir, ashraya. So there is the primary creation, then there is the secondary creation by Brahmaji. Sarga, visarga, is Brahma's creation. And then there is sthanam. Sthana means there is maintenance of all souls within this universe. Right from an ant to the elephant, all of them have their desires fulfilled. There is provision for all of them. There is provision for all of them to be taken care of. So Krishna is the original contractor, is the original proprietor. He gives contract to Brahma to build this house. So Brahmaji, he is building this house. And then all kinds of facilities are made for all the residents to be provided for. Om Purnamadam Purnamidam Purnam Purnamudachyate. Everything is perfectly arranged for all the souls. And then Poshanam is a special kind of maintenance for those who are actually leading their lives according to the purpose of the creation. The purpose of creation is purification and remembrance of Krishna and service to Krishna. And who does that? Devotees. So Poshanam means special protection and affection given by Krishna to his devotees. How Krishna protects his devotees is Poshanam. So Krishna says, Samoham Sarvabhuteshu. That means I am equal to all. That is kind of sthanam. He is maintaining all. But ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya. But those who try to serve me with devotion, I also take special care of them. That's kind of Poshanam. And then Krishna is specially affectionate to his devotees, willing to reciprocate with his devotees. But generally the conditioned souls have material desires and they try to fulfill these material desires. And that is known as Utaya. Utaya means creative impetus, or how these different conditioned souls are trying to fulfill their material desires. Right? Now, like pastimes of Ajamil and other pastimes describe how these desires are very strong, how the anarthas are strong, and the conditioned souls trying to fulfill those desires. But still Krishna doesn't leave all the conditioned souls just to take care of themselves and figure out what to do. But Krishna makes arrangements by sending the Manus, and the Manus make specific laws as to how the human beings should be regulated according to a certain set of laws. And that is known as the laws of Manu. And the reign of Manus are known as Manvantara. They set the ideal standards for all the conditioned souls. Even souls who have desires to fulfill, okay, come on, this is the best standard. This is the ideal standard. So Manvantara, the reign of the Manus, the reign of the ideal kings. And Krishna not only shows example through these Manus, through his great devotees like Ambarish Maharaj, Swayambhu Manu, and Dhruva Maharaj, and all these great souls, but Krishna personally reciprocates and personally intervenes, and he descends. And he also participates and displays by his own example how all the conditioned souls can become attracted to him. Ishanukatha. That is known as Ishanukatha. And Ishanukatha means it is all of these wonderful pastimes when Krishna appears as avatars and he creates subject matter for the conditioned souls to hear, chant and discuss and thus become purified. And Nirodha. Nirodha means it's like winding up. Winding up of the creation. Right? And Mukti is liberation. So ultimately, Mukti means that the soul has to be liberated from the miseries of this material existence. The whole creation, maintenance, destruction, creation, maintenance, destruction will be going on. But ultimately the soul has to get out. And that is Mukti. And ways of getting out are described. And then finally, the ultimate purpose of all of these nine is Ashraya, the shelter. Whose shelter we should take? If we take shelter of anything material, we will ultimately be frustrated. Just as one may take shelter of a house, and the house may be very beautiful, attractive, opulent, but as soon as there is an earthquake, that same house in which you are taking shelter, every brick of that house potentially has the power to crack your skull open. Therefore, what is the point of taking such shelter? Therefore, we have to leave shelter of material things, material assets, materialistic principles, and take shelter of something spiritual, and specifically take shelter of Krishna, and so that is known as Ashraya. So therefore Bhagavatam says, Dashamasya Vishuddhartam Navanam Iha Lakshanam Varnayanti Iti Mahatmana Shrutena Arthena Anjasa. Dashamasya Vishuddhartam. In order to distill this 10th topic, to get this ashray, to come to the stage of Krishna and Ashraya, Vishuddhi Artham, Navanam Iha Lakshanam. All the other nine topics are described in Bhagavatam, so that ultimately Varnayanti Mahatmana, all the great souls are describing about these other topics, Shrutena, Arathena, Anjasa, directly, indirectly, or through different stories. So like this, the Bhagavatam is in various ways giving narrations, but the ultimate purpose of all these narrations is to bring us to the point of Ashraya. Ashraya means shelter, and Srila Prabhupada gives the topic to the 10th canto, the Samam Bhunam Krishna. So therefore, why these other 9 topics have been described? If ultimately the goal of Srimad Bhagavatam is Ashraya or Krishna or Krishna's through Bhagavan Swayam, if ultimately love of Krishna and taking shelter of Krishna is all in all, And why do we need these other topics? And why Vidura is going through all of these topics of creation and creator, if ultimately love of Krishna is the highest? So there is a reason for this. And that reason is that there are two qualities of any personality. One is known as the Mukhya and the other is Gauna. Mukhya means the principal qualities, primary qualities, and Gauna is secondary qualities. And generally, a person's primary qualities can only be known after you are familiar with him for a sufficient enough period of time. And therefore, if you want to know something about someone and you want to have some idea about someone, then you have to only go through the Gauna or the secondary qualities. And therefore, a man, before he can be known personally, is known through his energies. For example, you want to know who is a rich man. Now by seeing a man, if someone walks in here with a dhoti and kurta, you cannot figure out who he is. If Ambarish Prabhu, Alfred Ford, walks in, he also wears tilak, he also wears dhoti kurta, and he may look like any other devotee, but if someone wants to know how rich a person is, then by seeing him we can't understand. But there are ways of assessing. That means you go through the stock market index and then you see what do the market rates show of this so and so company, right? And by seeing the stock index you can understand that this company is really doing well, and if this person is a proprietor and he has 51% stake in this company and the shares are selling at 2500 rupees, then you can have some idea how much fortune this person must be having. And therefore, to understand the energies of a rich man, a complete degree is taken. And they are known as chartered accountants. The chartered accountants and the financial analysts, they go through 3, 4, 5 years of intensive study so that they can become completely qualified to estimate the energies of some wealthy man. They have techniques by which, simply by seeing a report, a balance sheet, by seeing a piece of paper and some numbers written on that, they can understand he is really doing well and this company is down in the dumps. You and me, if we see a balance sheet, if we don't have a financial background, we can't figure out. But simply by seeing the sheets of paper, those who are trained in estimating, analyzing, they can come to the conclusion that yes, this company is really doing well, one must invest here. This man is really doing well and he can, you know, really make it to the top 10. This person is really in the Fortune 500. Therefore, even in terms of mundane assets, to estimate a person's value and his power, and this is just one of the opulences a person has, that is wealth. And there are 5 other opulences. And we can figure out that Krishna is the sum total of all of these opulences. And by seeing a person, it may not be possible to understand who he is, because we are not trained in analyzing the different aspects of that energy, in this case wealth. Or for example, there is a story of an old man. He was having a beads in his hand, and this is early 1900s, 1903, 1904. He was traveling in a cart and there was a young man sitting in front of him, and this old man had a beads in rosary and he was chanting the Lord's name. And this young man was looking at this old man and he was kind of smiling derisively, and he was like telling him that, "What is this? This is the scientific age coming up and you are still stuck up with all of these rosary beads and all this. Come on. You don't know what's the latest trends in science." And this old man said, I don't know, young man, there are so many things happening, but which kind of science are you talking about? And the young man said, I think you're not aware that science has made so much of progress. These beads, they belong to a different age. You just forget about it. What you do is you give me your card, I'll send you the latest materials available on science, and you'll forget all of this chanting. So this old man, he just took out his visiting card and gave it to this young man. And this young man saw it and he was stunned. And it was written, Louis Pasteur, the president of the Science Association of Paris. One of the greatest scientists, you know. And simply by seeing, he could figure out that this person is the greatest scientist living at that time in the whole of France. Someone who completely transformed so many different aspects, the way we are living in modern times. He gave us vaccines and he gave so many ways of pasteurizing and all of these other things. And there is the story of Albert Einstein, that unless someone knows something about quantum physics, how will you know that someone is a great scientist or not? Right? Someone may think he is just an ordinary person. Now, he may write so many equations on the blackboard, and all of these equations will be so complicated and so many Greek terms are used. And if someone is not familiar with that, he may look at that board and may think that this is some illustration or drawing class going on, because he has no idea that each one of those figures is representing something great. But for that, the basic understanding has to be there. Therefore, if one wants to know the person, first one has to understand the energies. Right? And when you know the energies, and through the energies, and by seeing someone's work and activities, and then gradually one can know the person. Just imagine if someone just walks up to you the first time and shakes hands with you and says, hello sir, how are you, what's your name? And then immediately puts his hand in your pocket and said, I just want your 50 rupees and takes it out. And you may think it's offensive. What kind of a fellow is this? He's straight putting his hand in my pocket. The first time he's seeing me. But that's how people want to deal with Krishna. They don't even know him. And the first time they meet, immediately they want to accept something from him, take something from him, or know about intimate details of his activities. Therefore, Vedanta Sutra also follows this principle. Vyasadeva first says, Janma, yes, first he says Atato Brahma Jigyasa. And after saying Atato Brahma Jigyasa, then now we should inquire about the Absolute Truth. The introduction to the Absolute Truth he gives by first stressing on the energies. Janma, yes, yataha. The Absolute Truth is he who is the source of everything. And similarly, in Srimad Bhagavatam also, which is a natural commentary on Vedanta Sutra, a similar style is followed. First, the energies are described in great detail, and then when you have some estimate, some idea about the expanse of the energies of Krishna, then you have some respect for the person himself. Like in our temple, I remember, last 2 months, there was a young man who was coming in, very small shorts, you know, for morning japa. He would go for jogging and then walk in, and then somebody would give him beads and he would start chanting, and some of our brahmacharis were getting very disturbed. Why is he coming in such, you know, small, especially it's India and it's well known amongst people, they come in proper clothes. So why? He's also coming from a good family, so why is he coming like this? They didn't know who he is. And someone said, I should go and tell him, and I should chastise him, or I should, you know, instruct him not to come like this. And then the person who was cultivating this man, he revealed to the other brahmacharis that this fellow is the 10th richest man in India. And he's having some business interests all over the world. And after the Tata, Birlas, Ambanis, he's one of the top industrialists and business people. Okay? So as soon as that was revealed, everyone became a little respectful. And they gave up the idea of trying to tell him this or that and said, okay, you only deal with him. So till the time it was revealed what his energies are, so the conception was different, the attitude was different. And as soon as it was revealed that, okay, these are his assets, these are his energies, then automatically the connection is established. And then at least one begins to respect the person. And then when one goes on to establish further relationship with the person, and first of all a desire is established, a desire is created to establish a relationship by hearing about the energies. When we think he is a bum straight off the street, then we may not be so much interested. And we may think, okay, no use. But if you know he is one of the richest men, desire is created. Okay, let me establish a relationship. So by knowing about the energies, the desire to establish relationship is also created. And then when we do that, then gradually we get to know more about the person. So first, if someone hears about Krishna, that he is a cowherd boy playing around in Vrindavan, then okay, fine, what's the big deal? But then when we establish that these are the expanse of his energies, this is how powerful he is, and then by gradually knowing about these energies, then one develops a desire to get connected to someone rich, powerful, beautiful, opulent, and things like that. And therefore, dashamasya vishuddhartam navanam iha lakshanam. All the 9 different processes described in the first, the 9 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam is ultimately designed to increase our attraction, to take ashray, to take shelter of Krishna. So therefore here, Vidura has been directly witness to all the activities, so many activities of Krishna. Vidura has been directly in contact with Krishna. He has had very intimate dealings with Krishna. But Vidura, very wonderfully, is asking questions about how Krishna is the creator. Who is the creator? This is the first question he is asking. Who is the creator? And although Uddhava in previous chapters has already given a glimpse of higher topics, and Vidura could actually take a cue and take off from there and say, okay, in one of the verses Uddhavji mentioned something about Ras Leela. He mentioned something about how Krishna was playing with the gopis. So Maitreji, please tell me more details, because Vidurji explained too many pastimes in short in 1111 verse. But Vidura, although he has heard all of those things, which is practically a synopsis of 10th canto, now in this chapter he is coming back to the basics and again saying, please tell me something about the creation. Who is the creator? Right? Of course, towards the end of this section, Srila Prabhupada gives another perspective in one of the purports, where he says that because Krishna had just left this planet and Vidura was in a kind of separation, mood of separation, Vidura was missing Krishna, and any discussion about Krishna, and Vidura wanted to develop the mood that Krishna is still here. So in order to do that, he was like asking to mitigate his feelings of separation from Krishna. He was asking questions about, okay, tell me, this creation is here, fine, and this is one of the Lord's energies, to tell me who is the creator of this. So that is his mood. And then in the next verse he is explaining that how does he create, how the creation takes place. Yatha puna sveikhe idam nivesha shete guhayam sanivritta vritti yogeshwaradhishwara eka etat anu pravishto bahudha yathasit. So yatha puna, how does the creation take place? So all of us know that from Mahavishnu's pores the different universes come out, and then Krishna enters into this as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So he says, yatha puna svekhe idam niveshya. So in the space, first of all, he enters as Mahavishnu, and then When the universes come out of his pores, shete guhayam sanivrit vritti, within each universe he is lying as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Shete guhayam. And yogeshwaradhishwara eka etat. So naturally, he is entering into this universe. Now question may arise. Universe is created, you said, according to the previous verse, that Krishna is niriha, desireless, and he is only creating for the sake of the conditioned souls, because the last word says, samsthapya vrittim jagato vidhate, for creating livelihood for the conditioned souls. He is making all facilities. If that is the case, and the universe is meant for the conditioned souls, then if you are saying that this same Vishnu is also entering into the same universe, Shete Guhayam, so why? Lord is also entering. Maybe he also has some desire to enjoy something within this universe. So immediately the word comes, Nivritta Vritti. Shete Guhayam Sa Nivritta Vritti. Nivritta Vritti means without endeavoring for means of livelihood, or in the translation Prabhupada says, he does not have to endeavor for his maintenance. That means he is the maintainer of all. So one should not be under the illusion that this personality who is entering into this universe is entering for the same purpose as all the other tiny personalities who are entering. All may be entering, but all are not same. One is maintaining all the others. Eko bahunam yovidadati kaman. So how it is possible that this person is special and he can do that? Nivritta vritti. Others is vrittim jagato vidate. Others need livelihood. Others need to be maintained. And this person doesn't need to be maintained. How is it possible? Yogeshwara adhishwara. He is Yogeshwar, master of all mystic power. And is Adhishwar, supreme controller. He controls everything, everyone, all energies. So there is no question of anyone controlling him or providing for him. Through different energies, Parasa Shakti Vividhaya Shruyate, he makes arrangements for all the souls perfectly. Right? He is the master of all mystic powers and proprietor, Adhishwara, Eka. And therefore, one may think, okay, there are many more like this, who have multiple mystic powers, said no, Eka. He is one. Eko Bahunam. So this verse is kind of quite similar to that verse. That Eko Bahunam Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam Eko Bahunam Yovidati Kaman. So this is kind of similar to that, explaining how all are conscious entities, but one is super conscious. All are living entities, but all are souls, but one is super soul. That means he has extra powers, supernatural powers. He is transcendental and he is the power to maintain all the others. Eka etat. Anupravishto. And anupravishto. Thus he is distinct from all the other living entities. Right? So Srila Prabhupada also mentions in the purport that living entities are superior energies, whereas matter is inferior energies. And the combination of these brings about this material world. Like that. So in this way, how he is creating is in this fashion. So he is actually coming from the Supreme Lord himself, in the form of Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. All of them are responsible for maintaining all the conditioned souls. So naturally, immediately the next question comes. Why? Why this creation? Why this creation is required in the first place? Right? What is the ultimate purpose that he is creating? And why does he, you know, have to take all of this trouble? And why he is incarnating? What is the purpose? Why does he create? So in the 6th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a description of 4 principles which have to be taken into account in any creation. These four principles are very interesting, and one of the great scholars in modern times, Aristotle, he also referred to these principles in a different way. The four principles are, first is upadana, second is swarupena pradhana, third is nimitta yaman, and fourth is artha visheshan. And I'll explain in brief. This is in the sixth canto. So whenever there is creation, then these four questions must be answered. So upadana means the construction material. So as soon as we talk of creating, okay, we want to have a nice building here. So first question is, where is the construction material? So we need for creating a house, bricks, cement, mortar, steel, concrete, and iron rods. All of these things are required. So the construction material is required. That is known as upadana. So therefore, for this material creation also, the construction material is the different material elements. Earth, water, fire, ether, mind, intelligence, ego. These are the different materials for this creation. So that is known as upadana. Second is known as swarupena pradhana. So as soon as the materials are obtained, the second question which will be asked is, what is the design you are planning for? The contractor will ask, have you referred to an architect? Do you have architect's drawings? So we have temple construction going on all over the world. So all of us have this experience that before the construction materials can be put in proper place, you must have an architect's drawing, you must have a design, right? So therefore, this material world also, when it is created, there is a specific design of different planetary systems and different types of living conditions created. And the design will vary in different ways depending on how you are going to use that particular thing. So if this room is meant for classes, then it is designed a certain way. If it is meant for parking cars as a garage, it will be different. If it is supposed to be a shop counter, then the design will be different. If it is meant to be a nursing home or a hospital, the design will be different. So design parameters vary depending on how you will be using. So that is known as swarupena pradhana design. Third is nimitta yaman, and nimitta yaman means construction crew. Okay, materials are there, the drawings are there, the design is there, but you need someone to put it all together. So we give on contract. Okay, Larsen & Toubro is the construction company chosen, and they are given contract for constructing Juhu temple, or for constructing Delhi temple or some of these big temples. So you give on contract. So they have a crew. They have a contractor, laborers, this, that, so many other things. Similarly, so the initial building blocks are there. A design is given by, revealed by Krishna to the main manager, that is Brahma. And Brahma is the main construction in charge. He is in charge of the construction crew. So he creates this entire material world. Right? So all said and done, perfectly all right. So there are different demigods who actually are responsible for presiding over the different material elements. And they are also like part of the crew. So all of these are fine. But the fourth and most important thing is artha vishesha, is what is the purpose of this house, as I said to you. As long as the design is there, the design will only be made depending on how you want to use this house. So if you do not know the purpose for which this house is supposed to be built, then there is ultimately no point. So the purpose, what is the ultimate purpose of constructing this place? So that is one of the most important parameters. And so many scientists and other materialists and philosophers and scholars, They are many times completely concentrating on trying to figure out the first three principles. But hardly anyone is able to decipher the actual purpose of this creation and understand the fourth principle. What is the purpose of this creation? And therefore, because they are not having knowledge from directly the person who is sanctioning the creation, they are never able to understand. Right? If you simply see construction going on, like there is this famous example, a man approached three people on a construction site. He asked the first person, "What are you doing?" He said, "I am laying the bricks." He asked the second fellow, "What are you doing?" He said, "I am making a wall." He asked the third fellow, "What are you doing?" He said, "I am making a nice bungalow for the mayor. I am making a nice house for the mayor of the city." So at least the third person, all the three are there, but only one was aware of the whole plan. Right? And therefore, we can see that Krishna is making this nice material world. It's like a shop where you can come and fulfill your desires. At certain time it opens, but at specific time it closes. However many customers may be there whose desires are not fulfilled, when it's 9 o'clock at night, shutters down. So as many living entities may be there at the time of dissolution, they may not have fulfilled their desires, Lord Shiva is not going to wait, shutters down. So that is dissolution, night of Brahma. And then again the day starts, and then again the creation begins, and again it ends. So in this way, facility is given for all the souls to fulfill their desires in so many different ways, but it is all being made available by Krishna's mercy. So now Vidurji is actually coming to the fourth principle which we have just discussed. Right, and that is Artha Vishesha. Why the Lord is actually creating? What is the purpose of this creation? And that is described in verse number 7. Kridan vidhatte dvijago surana kshemaya karmani avatar bhedaya manonatripya apishrinvatamna sushloka maule charita amritani. So he's mentioning that the Supreme Lord is descending to attract the conditioned souls for self-realization. You may narrate also about the auspicious characteristics of the Lord in his different incarnations for the welfare of the twice-born cows and demigods. Our minds are never satisfied completely, although we continuously hear of his transcendental activities. So Srila Prabhupada writes a very elaborate purport explaining how Vidura's this question is actually meant to elicit a response as to the purpose of the creation. Kridam vidhatte dvijago suranam. So indirectly by using these words, dvijago suranam, Vidura is actually inquiring about the purpose of the creation. How? Kshemaya karmani avatar bhedaye. So as different incarnations, as different avatars, Krishna is performing so many activities, karmani. But those karmani, those transcendental pastimes are meant for whom? Kshemaya dvija go surana. For the benefit of dvija, go and sura. So if the conditioned souls are unlimited, so why Krishna's activities are specifically connected for the benefit or welfare of only dvija, the twice born? So Prabhupada mentions in the purport, everyone has to take birth, but all are born in ignorance. Dvija means he has now understood the goal of life. Twice born means the lamplight of knowledge is there. He knows why this creation is taking place. what is the purpose of creation. Then ultimately we have to get connected to Krishna and ultimately go back to the spiritual world, get out of the material world. He is twice born. So what is the connection of go or cow? That this transcendental intelligence is nourished by taking the product of go or milk. So to understand the purpose of creation, one who understands the purpose of this creation is a dvija. And to facilitate becoming a dvija, cow's milk helps. So the cow is also an important element in the Lord's plan in helping us become a dvija. So the cow's milk helps us become purified and develop transcendental intelligence by which we can understand the purpose of this creation. And then there are the Surana, the assistants of the Lord, who are like confidential servants of the Lord as demigods, and they are already aware of the purpose of creation because they are directly department heads. They have been given specific powers by the Lord. They are constantly in touch with the Lord. They know the purpose of the creation anyway. So dvija go suranam akshemaya. So Krishna is always descending for the purpose of these personalities who have understood the purpose of this creation. So when he appears and performs pastimes, subject matter is created. So when subject matter is created, and this subject matter is narrated and discussed by the dvijas or by the suras, then so many other conditioned souls in future get that benefit. So therefore he says, manonatripya apishrivatamna sushloka maule charitamritani mano natripyati. And although these pastimes may sometimes appear to be repetitive, but manonatripyati, I can never be sufficiently satisfied. The more I hear, the more I feel attracted to these pastimes. Apishrenvatamna sushloka maule. So sushloka maule is translated as auspicious. The Supreme Personality of Godhead who is glorified with auspicious poetry. Sushloka maule charita amritani. And therefore this amrita, this nectar of the characteristics of the Lord, Krishna Katha, Hari Katha, is always invigorating. And so Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport that Lord's pastimes for the protection of the twice born are all transcendental, and a human being ultimately inclined to hear good narrations and stories. But the beauty of transcendental literatures like Gita and Bhagavat is they never become old, and they are ever fresh, and therefore there is no cessation for devotees like Vidura. Vidura must have heard this pastimes many times before he met Maitreya, but still he wanted to hear the same narrations to be repeated because he was never satiated by hearing them. That is the transcendental nature of the Lord's glorious pastimes. So ultimately the Lord is creating this material world to give a chance for the conditioned souls to fulfill their desires. Plus, the Lord is also facilitating the journey of the conditioned souls back to Godhead by personally appearing and performing pastimes. And by discussing and hearing these pastimes, the souls can purify and go back home, back to Godhead. And this is the ultimate purpose of creation. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the first paragraph, the bona fide spiritual master as a representative of the Lord is eternal father, because spiritual master has a responsibility to lead the disciple to spiritual salvation or ultimate goal of life. Therefore a civilized man must be twice born, otherwise he is no more than lower animals. So therefore Krishna is creating this material world also. The main purpose is not just to fulfill the desires, but ultimately purify those desires and attract the soul towards Krishna again. Sushloka Maule Charita Amritani. And then when the mind is completely attracted to Krishna, then the soul can go back home, back to God. At any time this natural sequence is disturbed, then Krishna appears again and again. Therefore it says, Indrari Vyakulam Loke Mridayanti Yuge Yuge. That means, when Krishna sees that suras are the demigods, are the devotees, they are being troubled by their enemies. So Krishna has to intervene, because these are the appointed representatives to uphold the purpose of Krishna's creation. And if someone is meddling with that, then Krishna has to come and intervene. So therefore Krishna is creating to attract the souls. And also Prahlad Maharaj says that yatha yatha dhramayati ayo brahma swayamma karsha sannidham tatha me bhidyate chetas chakrapane riyadrichaya. Just like the magnet attracts a piece of iron, so similarly, my dear Shanda and Amarka, my soul is being naturally attracted to Krishna. The soul is just like a pure iron filing, and Krishna is like all attractive supreme magnet. Yatha bhramayati ayo brahman swayam akarsha sannidhav. Swayam akarsha means on its own. Sannidhav, sannidhi, sannidhya means nikatta, means to come close, proximity. Swayam akarsha sannidhav. A soul who is pure becomes naturally attracted to Krishna. Tatha me bhidyate chetas chakrapani yadrichaya. And therefore, my mind is being naturally attracted to chakrapani, to Krishna, who with his chakra has destroyed all the anarthas of my heart. And so, these anarthas are like rust over this iron filings, and because of this rust, which is predominantly lust, we are not able to be attracted to Krishna. And therefore, the ultimate purpose of creation is purification. And by becoming purified, purified in all ways, purified first physically, right, by pure habits, so go, or as far as the cow is concerned, it is giving milk, giving us facility. Ahara shuddham sattva shuddhi sattva shuddham dhruva smriti smriti lamhe sarva grantina vipramoksha. Prabhupada quotes this in Gita Purport. When food is purified, you become a little sattvic. And then intelligence becomes purified. Intelligence is purified, one is able to understand transcendental subject matters. Right? Therefore, by drinking milk, by following the dvija and suras, and then gradually by doing this, one feels attraction for Krishna Katha, Hari Katha, and that is the ultimate purpose of this creation. Because in the spiritual world, 24 hours continuously, one has to be engaged only in this activity. Sushloka Maule Charitamritani. Spiritual world is continuous Harikatha, as described in third canto description of Kingdom of God. Paramatanyamrita Sarasa Chakravaka Dadyuha Shukadipirija Bhajinamva Kolahalam Viramate Chiramatra Munchaihi Vrindadike Harikatham Ivadayamane. So the names of all of these different birds is given in the spiritual world. In Vaikuntha, Paravatanya Bhrita Sarasa Chakravaka. This is different birds. Sarasa is kind of crane, or Chakravaka. Datyuha is Yalnyu. Shuka is parrot. Tittiri is kind of a sparrow. Varinam is peacock. So all of these auspicious birds are making various kinds of wonderful melodious sounds, but
kolahalam viramate chiramatram uchaihi.
So when all of these sounds are being made, suddenly the king of the bees, the Brahman, he starts making nice songs of Krishna.
Kolahalam viramate.
So the kolahal, or the combined sounds of all of these auspicious birds, they immediately stop.
Viramate.
Us dhwani ko viram de dete. They just stop it.
Viramate.
Chira matram uchaihi. They just hear it once, that someone is singing Krishna's glories loudly. Krishna has been glorified wonderfully, and he is glorifying the best amongst all of us. And immediately they stop.
Vrindadipe.
Why? Harikatham. Iva gayamane. Because he is singing Harikatham so nicely, let us stop and hear. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, Vaikuntha means continuously Krishna Kirtan, Krishna Katha, glorification of Krishna. Only Krishna, glorification, nothing else. And therefore, unless a soul is purified and then develops the real taste of hearing about Krishna continuously, why will he be sent to the spiritual world? He will be most miserable there if the taste is not there, right? And if there is no schedules there, there are no time limits, it's continuous going on. And then he's sitting and waiting for a prasad break. And he's saying, okay, when is it stopping? He said, no, sorry. The only thing which goes on here is kirtan. He said, come on. Send a Vaikuntha return ticket. I want a return plane back. So therefore, unless one comes to this stage, mano na tripyati apishrinvatamna sushloka maule charitamritani. Vidura is saying, my mind is not fully satisfied. I want to hear more and more and more. My thirst is going on increasing. So this is one of the symptoms that yes, someone is ready to go to the spiritual world. And Srila Prabhupada was a fantastic example of such a personality that in spite of all kinds of difficulties with body and this and that, continuously absorbed in Krishna Katha, in the last days in Vrindavan, continuously translating Brahma Vimohan Leela, you know, continuously giving such fantastic purports even to the last stage. So therefore, this is the purpose of this creation. It is a kind of reformatory to purify us and make us fit for positive activities. And then when we are fit, then we are ready to go to the spiritual world. And therefore, now the last he says, what does he create? And what does he create in text 8 and 9? So we have discussed who creates, how he creates, why he creates, and text 8 and 9 discuss what he creates. So I have divided 8 and 9 into two parts. So suppose now we are talking of, say, a creation. Say the government making a township, say. Okay, let us look in that terms. Krishna creating this material world, I look at it in terms of a government creating a township, you know, or an emperor putting some king in charge of a kingdom. So there are three things, a kingdom, and the kingdom has to have a controller, a king. And then the king rules over citizens. So these three aspects have to be there in any creation. Okay, I create a temple, then the temple must have a temple president and it must have devotees. I create a company, then the company must have a managing director, a CEO, chief executive officer, and then employees. Right? So like that, in any setup, there will always be a place which is to be ruled, the ruler, and those who are ruled over. So 8 describes the kingdom and the king. And 9 describes the citizens. Right. So in 8 it is described,
Yahi tattva bhedai adhilokanatho lokan alokan sahalokapalan achiklipatya trahi sarva sattva nikaya bhedo dhikrita pratipa.
So he's describing Adhiloka Natha. Adhiloka Natha means King of Kings. Right? So the King of all Kings, the Supreme King of all Kings, is creating various kings and kingdoms. So Krishna is the King Maker. He makes the kings. Right? So many times there are these King Makers. They themselves are not involved, but they will decide who will be the king. Right? So Krishna is like that. He is settling the demigods. Okay. You in charge of Brahma Loka. You in charge of Tapo Loka. You in charge of Indra Loka. Like that. So the kings are appointed by Krishna. The kingdoms, that means those planets, are also made by Krishna. So first thing is the kingdom. So first thing in the city, you make the different sections of the city. Right? So one is the posh areas with nice gardens and big houses and fantastic terraces. And then there are the slum areas. Then there are the one room kitchen houses, you know, and things like that. And in cities like Bombay, people even stay in the pipes. Big pipes which are not yet put inside any drainage. They just have a pipe and they put two curtains on both sides and inside they stay. And they have a TV antenna also on that. So they manage to stay there. And somebody staying in Malabar Hill, Pali Hill, or you know, in any of these big cities, different places. So now kingdom is there and the different conditions have to be created. So that also created by Krishna. So he creates Tattva Bhede Adhilokanatha Lokan Alokan. So this is translated by Srila Prabhupada. Has created different planets and places of habitation. So the houses, the areas are selected. So Bhu, Bhuva, Soha, Tapa, Maha, Satya. These are created. Okay, these are the posh areas. Opulent places where there is more comforts. And then there is Patal, Rasatal, Talatal, Atal, Vital, Sutal, all these. Right? And then there are those who are underprivileged or who may be requiring a certain kind of punishment. So, who decides who will go where? It's not the living entities come and then Brahma asks where you would like to go, you know, and things like that. So after every birth, depending on the karma, he is put in different situations. So certain laws are there. So who stipulates that? Krishna, King of all kings, Adhilokanath. So nobody has, he may have a certain desire and then some facility is given. But then after he is misusing that facility, then certain laws act upon him and then he is taken care of accordingly. So therefore he says here, Lokan, Alokan. Adhiloka Nathan. So Alokan means higher planets, lower planets. Different planetary systems he creates. Right? And Lokapala, respective kings. Achiklupat is an interesting word. Achiklupat means plan. He is the one who plans it. Yatrahi sarva sattva nikaya bheda adhikrita pratita. Right? Pratita means it appears. It so appears that living entities have, you know, just occupied. But they have not just occupied. All the things have been created by Krishna and a certain parameters have been given. Based on that, they are occupying. So that planning is done. Right. So Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the Purport about different, you know, kinds of situations. Some places are having oceans of sugarcane water or different kinds of milk ocean and this ocean and that ocean and some deserts and all of these. So different conditions are there, different planets are there and different kings have been appointed accordingly. And now comes the next part is the citizens or the living entities who will inhabit these places. Yena prajana uta atma karma rupa vidanam cha vidam yadatta narayano
Vishwasrik Atma Yoni Ketat Chayovarnaya Vipravarya.
So he's now explaining, please tell me how Narayana has created the different jivas. Right. Now how the jivas are created, different parameters are taken into account. Number one is Prakriti. Right. Prakriti is Atma.
Yena Prajanam Uta Atma
means what is that nature? So according to the three modes, karma, certain kinds of activities are performed, and then depending on the kind of activity which is to be done,
rupa vidhanam cha vidham vyadhatta,
different forms and features are given and names are provided. So rupa abhidhanam cha vidham vyadhatta. So therefore Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport that, like, for example, somebody is mode of goodness, so for him activity is given, okay, you teach, right, and certain name is given, certain feature is given, certain qualities are given. He may not have much physical strength, but he has capacity to be patient and sit and hear and study for a long time and things like that. More intellectual abilities may be there. And then a name is given, Brahman. Right, so that is the name. So Prakriti, Karma, and then Rupa, and then Nama. Or someone is supposed to be in passion, and then he's supposed to be working as a military man, so like Arjun or Bhima. So then their forms and features are also like that. So even Jarasandha could immediately identify, okay, these people have come begging to me in the dress of Brahmans. But Brahmans who live by begging cannot be so powerfully built. You know, definitely this person is Kshatriya. And then name is given, okay, Kshatriya. So like that. So he is wanting to know what are the parameters by which these things are decided.
Yena prajana muto atma karma rupa vidhanam cha vidham vyadatta.
So who is doing this?
Narayano Vishwasrik Atma Yonir.
So now this Atma Yonir means Krishna is the creator, but he himself is self-sufficient. He is self-sufficient, but he is doing all this for the purpose of the conditioned souls. So he began this whole discussion with Niriha. Krishna is desireless. Next 5. Right? And this is the last verse of this section. And again, he is describing Narayana, he is Vishwasri, creator, he is self-sufficient, etat chayo varnaya. Please explain. So he began by asking, please tell me about this Bhagavan, whose Atma Tantra, Tridhisha and Niriha, desireless and independent Lord of the three worlds. And then he is ending by also saying, please explain to me how he actually puts all of these souls, the citizens in the kingdom under different kings, Narayana, who is the creator, and the self-sufficient Lord, Varnaya. Please explain to me, because you are Vipravarya, the best of the Brahmanas. You can explain all these things to me perfectly. And then from text 10, Vidura is beginning a new section. So 10, 11 and 13. I have taken 12 and 14 together. It could be in some other way also, but this is just like for my personal study, I was just making some kind of sections. So there could be other ways of looking at it also. So 10, 11 and 13 describe why Vidura wants to hear. Right. So till now we were discussing what Vidura wants to hear from 5 to 9. Right. So text 1 was who wants to hear. 2, 3, 4 is how or in what mood he wants to hear. And then 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 is what he wants to hear. And text 10, 11 and 13 is why he wants to hear. And as part of this, he describes six benefits of hearing Harikatha and gives example, also substantiating these benefits in text 12 and 14. And that we'll see. On 15th, we'll have the next class. That's what I've been told by the coordinator, Prabhuji here. Adi Purush Prabhu has requested the next class will be on 15th. So we'll continue. Thank you. Hare Krishna. I explained to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, you know, very innovative ways of explaining the philosophy. So Krishna book is direct Krishna Katha, and at the same time Prabhupada is presenting in such a nice way that you have understanding of all of Krishna's various energies, and you cannot actually have any kind of sahajya mentality about Krishna. You have an understanding that here is the Supreme Lord, and therefore this principle of first approaching the person through his energies, this etiquette is followed in all prayers by any personality to Krishna. This etiquette is always followed. So immediately you will find that in most of the prayers in Srimad Bhagavatam, he will begin by saying, you are the origin of the three modes, you are the controller of all the modes, you know, this, and many times we like to skip through those, you know, sections and prayers. And then, finally, then the personal qualities and how he is bhaktavatsal and all these other things come later. So in several prayers, this kind of an etiquette is followed, that energies are described in great detail. And then one comes to the person and his personal features. So like that. So if you are actually going through Krishna book or 10th canto, even in 10th canto if you read demigods' prayers, right, prayers of personified Vedas, Brahmaji's prayers, all of these contain practically the whole philosophy. In fact, each individual prayer in itself is like a synopsis of what we have just discussed. Within those section of prayers you will find these, that the creation is being described, the manifestation of the energy, the winding up is being described, and then all of these features have been described. Therefore, in one way it is like self-sufficient sections, each one of these. There was, I think, there must have been a discussion here on that Maryada Pahalada. Maryada Vyatikram or etiquette thing.
Only etiquette.
That was one part. I mean, at least that is the only thing in the whole of, because this is the longest conversation in practically whole of Bhagavatam. It's even longer than even Uddhava Gita. And this is whole third canto, two parts, fourth canto, two parts. And Maitreya Rishi is describing all of these. And Prabhupada mentions that Uddhava was very, very careful, that because Maitreya Rishi is practically like his, on his level of his guru, so therefore he did not want to do Maryada Vyatikram, and so he followed this etiquette. Right. So on one hand we have this kind of episodes, and on the other hand we also have Shukadeva Goswami speaking and Narad Muni and Vyasadeva sitting and hearing. Right. So, and in that many acharyas describe that this is because Shukadeva Goswami given permission and instructed by Narad Muni and Vyasadeva, okay, this is what you should do. So under instruction and blessings, so he is doing like that. And at that time Uddhava, already feelings of separation from Krishna and had to fulfill the mission of Krishna, he had to go, he had to reach Bhadrikashram. So therefore, although I have not read that anywhere, but there must have been other reasons also. And so the only other question which remains is, it appears from whole lifetime activities of Vidura that he was quite intimately connected with Krishna. And he was in fact directly a servant of Krishna's very intimate devotees, the Pandavas. So in that sense, he appears to be very highly qualified, and we do not see many direct pastimes where Maitreya Rishi is either connected with Krishna or with his devotees. So in that sense, sometimes the doubt comes in my mind also, and maybe some of the senior Vaishnavas can discuss this. And you know, you heard something?
I heard something.
Yeah.
I heard that Maitreya had very bad theoretical knowledge, whereas Vidura had very deep realization. And in this conversation, they have the same issues.
Acha. Okay.
Because Maitreya Muni has some monistic ideas about there's some dangers, he can misguide it, Vidura.
No. There is. Prabhupada just mentions that he was before Jnana kind of. But then he had Agyata Sukriti, and then when he heard, he was present when Krishna was speaking to Uddhavji. So when he heard from Krishna, after that, no problem. So he has also heard from Krishna. So in that sense, when Maitreya Rishi now is speaking to Uddhav, to Vidurji, so there is no question of any kind of contamination of impersonalism or anything at this stage. One of the etiquettes is that once a person becomes Vaishnav, then his past is not considered. So we are all surviving here in ISKCON because, you know, this kind of etiquette is there. So therefore, I cannot sit on the asasana and speak. So otherwise, in those times the conditioning was some gyan, little bit, that kind of impersonal tendency. So once mercy is received, and then Krishna is pleased, and the knowledge has been given, so then therefore we don't bring out his past. So he is considered to be glorious. Otherwise, Shukadeva Goswami will not be quoting him, you know, for practically two cantos. So therefore, we are not in a position to judge what is his level, and therefore we just accept. And if something like that had been there, Prabhupada would have made a mention somewhere. And Prabhupada is not making a mention anywhere in either of those. At least I don't remember reading anything of that sort. So therefore, I don't want to comment further on Maitreya Ji. All glories to him. Yes.
You quoted two Srimad Bhagavatam, 2.10.1, Atra Visarga Rog.
Atra Sarga Visarga.
Sanam Kotanam Sarayana. Depicting, describing the 10 topics of the Srimad Bhagavatam. My question is, Srimad Bhagavatam mentioned in his Sarasandhava that actually those 10 topics are scattered all over the
Exactly.
Not really focusing on one
right. Each
installment of the Bhagavatam,
right.
Those topics. So then why do we have a title each Bhagavatam then?
Yeah.
Why did we take that into account?
That is a kind of two ways of looking at it, because according to Jiva Goswami also, 10th canto itself has all the 10 topics also covering. And then there are further 11th and 12th topics, 11th and 12th cantos. And so if it is sequentially 1st to 10, 1 and 10 topics, and 10th is Ashraya, Samam Bonam, then after that why there should be 11 and 12 and what that contains. So Srila Prabhupada is, actually I have not gone into that at Sandarbha. This is described in Bhagavad Sandarbha. This whole discussion is there. And I have not gone into the details, but Srila Prabhupada has given for each one the title according to those topics. Right. So according to some commentators, now different commentators vary on this part. According to some commentators, the predominant topic, like all 10 topics are discussed in all 10 cantos, but some of the cantos, each canto discusses one of those topics more predominantly, gives more emphasis and focuses on that more. Right? So therefore Prabhupada has chosen that.
That's when the first came to Saragam.
Yeah.
I mean there's not much of
creation. Yeah. I mean, it's only conversations in the first canto.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
It's a good thing. But I guess.
Maybe I think when. No, you can ask maybe.
Jaita Maharaj.
Huh?
Jaita Maharaj.
Yeah, or maybe Burijan Prabhu also and other devotees. I have not personally gone through a study of Bhagavatam under, you know, someone who's experienced. So this is just by my own study of Prabhupada's purport. So many, many things are still in my mind also. Doubts which I have not yet clarified. So maybe in future sometime I get the fortune of studying under some authorities here in VIHE or other places. Be nice. So I thank you very much. Got a meeting now. Hare Krishna.